Welcome to the most inappropriate book club you never knew you were missing. Featuring at least 3 different books every week. Starring Martha Steele, the weirder the book, the better. Vonnie Golden, historical fiction with a side of trauma porn. Keith Steigert, reading the books your mother warned you about. These people are passionate about books. Maybe a little too passionate. Plotting world domination, one book at a time. They are 3 book girls.
Pants are a little loose this week, but I don't think it's because I've lost weight. I think it's just because I finally shaved my legs. You know, winter's over.
So basically, all of that fur that was padding out the legs is now gone. So,
right.
Did you contact Locks of Love?
I braided it and sent it off.
Okay, good. We need to make sure to do the right thing, Vonnie. We can't have...
What do they call the vagina wigs? They're going to use it for some vagina
merkin.
Wigs. Merkin. Send it off for some merkin merchandise.
The other day I saw this Facebook picture of curly Q eyelashes and eyebrows. Have you seen that?
Curly Q? Like the weird handlebar mustaches?
No, like...
On their eyebrows?
Yes, and eyelashes.
What?
So it's like spiral eyelashes and eyebrows. And then it said under the caption, this is what happens when you light the stove and don't move your head quickly enough.
I mean, I have completely done that before.
But it totally looked like it was intentional, though.
When you're a teenager and you're babysitting... And they have a gas stove and you don't have a lighter.
Yet,
how else are you going to? And, you know, it was the Aquanet phase.
Aquanet,
it was the Aquanet decade.
Yeah. So you definitely got a little singeing on the.
So you lit it and it went.
So when I was young, I was probably 22. I lived in this tiny little house by myself for about 3 months and I never used the oven. Well, I kind of was feeling fish fingers, so I
feeling a little fishy.
Feeling some fish fingers, so I turned on the oven and then went to search for a match.
Oh no! You're lucky you didn't blow up your little house.
It is probably a miracle that I'm here with you today. I had no idea about the way that shit worked. You know, when I was young, innocent, I never had to light anything like that before. I did singe my eyelashes and the front and my bangs.
Well, it was I'm sure you
all
had some hairspray.
All the hair off my entire arm was gone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Did you burn the custard to eat with the fish fingers?
No, I gave up. I was like, fuck you, fish fingers.
I'm going to Long John Silver's.
I'm not hungry anyway, bastards. So that's my story. But I wonder if that's an intentional thing, though. You guys haven't heard anything about it, huh?
What are you talking about?
Like the curly eyelashes.
Well, you know, they
seriously have no idea what you're talking about. I'm gonna Google it now.
Google it. See if curly eyelashes come up.
It seems like the really long eyelashes are a big thing.
I'm
I know
sorry.
A lot of people that have them. I don't particularly care for
them.
Oh
my God.
But... See?
They look like merkins. That's weird. Is that why you thought of it?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's what happened to my leg hair. Somebody used it for their eyelashes.
Seriously,
what?
Though. I know.
What are these?
Google it, people. Google curly.
Oh, my God.
Curly eyelashes and eyebrows. You're going to see what we're talking about. It's kind of hard to do this on a podcast, but you can figure it out.
No one has that in real life. Why? Are eyelashes, like, bigger now or putting on? I feel like when I was like young and into makeup, I don't remember anyone putting on fake eyelashes, and now they're everywhere.
You know,
they really are.
I used to do it once a year on Halloween, and then I'd come into the office and I'd say, "Well, today's the one day of the year that I wear my falsies," and all the guys would turn around and gawk, and I'd be, "See, it's my eyelashes."
I think though, fake eyelashes have come so far since the early days.
They have, but oh my God. I was watching The Voice. It wasn't this season. It was the season before. And there was this little girl on there that had the best voice, but I was so distracted because her eyelashes were at least, how far is that? 3 inches long?
Yeah. Jeez. Dang.
I mean, they took up her whole face. I mean, you couldn't help but like focus on her eyelashes.
Well, there are a lot of ads for like mascaras and things that will lengthen your lashes. Yeah. And some people like make them like an inch long. And I'm like, doesn't that hurt? Like, doesn't it make your eyelid fall down? Like, is it heavy? I don't know.
I don't know.
That would just bug the crap out of me.
Well, there are some people who have a legitimate need.
Right.
You know, people have alopecia, for example.
Right.
Or cancer treatments or whatever. But there are also a lot of people who use them day to day just because right, yeah. they don't like the way their eyelashes look. I
very rarely think about my eyelashes, honestly.
Yeah, maybe if I ever lose my eyelashes, I'll wear fake ones. But it always bugs me. And then I pick them just like sort of like I picked off all the fingernail polish off my fingers. And now my fingernails are all paper thin.
Mine too. I picked mine
you
off.
You picked yours off. Yay!
I picked mine off too.
You guys are fine. Yay!
I was totally hazed into getting my fingernails dipped.
You didn't have to.
I felt
you
left
could
out.
Have said no, and I would have been okay.
I felt left out. I had to do it because you guys were
peer
both
pressure.
Doing it. I was peer pressure. But now I have my nails back to their ugliness. And 2 more weeks, they'll be back to normal, I bet, because they're about halfway grown out now. 2 more weeks.
Your fingernails must grow fast because mine are still in about the 1/4 or 2/3 stage.
Well, I'm overestimating a little bit, but.
Yeah, the curly eyelashes are weird.
There are a lot of trends. Like this morning, I was watching Good Morning America, and they have the trend that's back now is the baggy jeans.
Yeah.
Are you going to say that those are stupid? Because I love baggy jeans.
Dude, I'm not going to say anything about baggy jeans. I'm fine with baggy jeans. But you know what's the funniest part of that? Is that my husband, the man who never changes anything ever and has been wearing the same jeans, and we couldn't get him anymore at the Sam's Club. He was buying them. He went to Carhartt so he could get straight denim. He didn't want any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He finally tried a pair of jeans with stretch in them.
And he loves them?
He loves them. He refused to try it before, so now he's tried it, and he comes home, and he's toting 3 pairs of those things. I was, what the hell are you doing? Well,
Where did he find men's stretchy jeans?
I don't know, but he's in love with them.
I mean, Tyler gets them, so you can get them places.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amusing. Well, I can get up the ladder so much easier now.
Well, yeah.
Like, yeah, because your ass isn't, well, he doesn't have an ass anyway, you know, and then he's got those big old baggy jeans with a belt on.
Right. And the belt restricts his movement.
Yep.
And with the stretchy, you just have to, I mean, by the end of the day, he might be pulling them up. They might be drooping down in his rear quarters.
He might be showing some
cleavage.
That man has very little ass on him.
Speaking of books.
What are we talking about?
I just wanted to quit talking about your husband's ass.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is really an uncomfortable
thing. No.
Thing,
I was just being stupid.
Come on. I never talk about my husband in that way on the podcast because he gets really uncomfortable if I talk about it.
Yeah, I understand.
How does he know?
He wouldn't. You know, I'm just thinking for the historical record, for the documents of the future, when I die, and he feels nostalgic for my voice, he'll listen to this and be horrified.
He will be horrified.
He'll go, oh my God, what a filthy bitch I was married to. This is awful.
It's like a double life. But speaking of books, we have recruited another person from my work.
What?
Not so far like we as in the podcast. We helped. But like, you know, the little group of book people at my work is growing.
Wow.
Like the person who sits next to me, because Christina, who I've talked about, and Sarah, they both went to the book crawl with us.
Right.
They come over and we talk books.
And then the other people hear you and want to join in?
And they started reading books. She ordered a book from Amazon and was trying to figure out how to download it to Audible. Of course, like, I have no freaking clue because and she ordered a book.
That's why you're asking me that today.
The other day,
yesterday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Martha's just, like, she's so.
I usually just order them through Audible.
She's so tainted. She's like, it sounds shady to me. I'm like, no, she bought it. She's trying to download the audio. She already bought the book.
Yeah, but usually if you buy the audio, it takes you right to Audible.
Well, the problem is she bought it off of somebody else's Amazon account. Because I guess she doesn't have an Amazon account.
So she was
trying to download it and yeah.
Did she get it figured out?
Yeah. Yeah, she got it figured out. I'm not going to name names because Amazon might be listening. Sorry, Amazon. We don't share.
There is no Alexa in this room. Now, if we were at my house, they would totally fucking know because I have two of them in there.
Yeah. They would shut down our podcast again like they did that one time.
I know. Those bastards.
That we were talking about. I don't remember what we were talking
about. Amazon shut down the podcast?
No, I'm joking.
Yes, they
did. We were talking about something, and then all of a sudden, like, we lost everything.
Well, the first time that happened, we blamed it on the haunted futon. Oh, speaking of which, the haunted futon is gone. This house is clean.
I just saw that. I'm kind of sad.
You never
saw it. We'll make you a slideshow of the
It's the end of an era. It
is.
Now that the haunted futon is gone. That came from... I don't know.
We need a slideshow with a Sarah McLachlan song.
I will remember you.
The arms of angels.
Yeah, some poor sucker at Goodwill gets it now. They're probably like, oh my God, why is this all this weird stuff happening in the house? The haunted photo. So now the studio looks very starkly clean. And the other thing is we just got new windows. So now it won't be hot in there anymore in the summer, hopefully.
Are you trying to set it up saying that we can't record in the studio anymore?
No, but when I go on vacation, you'll have to go to my house.
That's true.
But now there's nowhere for anybody to sit.
That's true.
Unless you're doing the podcast. Like, now you can't have visitors just watching.
Tell you what, when
maybe I'll get a poof.
When I get a new couch, you can have my mom's ugly red one.
No.
Be perfect.
No. It's too big.
That's what he said.
God damn it, Bonnie.
You're getting a new house?
Couch. And I was joking. My mom likes her couch. She might not let me get rid of it.
Bonnie's mom moved in with her this last weekend.
Yes.
So also another end of an era. Bonnie's swinging single life.
Is now going to be altered slightly because my mother lives, or I live with my mother now.
So she'll have to get busy in the garage or something if her mom's home.
We're going to have to.
Does your mom have a dog too?
No. We'll have to get busy at the bar bathroom before I go home now.
7-Eleven parking lot. Oh my God, it's just like the old days. Can you meet me at the 7-Eleven parking lot real quick?
Sure. What's your name again? No last names. I don't need that kind of pressure.
Easy man 23.
Exactly. That's how I have it saved in my phone.
God. So all these changes. Oh my gosh.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
It is. Now we got an earworm. Speaking of earworms, today I had to give away tickets for Barry Manilow.
What?
Oh, we were going to
talk. I know, right? Isn't that hilarious?
Holy shit, I thought he was dead.
No, he's not dead. He's just, he was only resting. He's out touring again.
Or he's a vampire.
And you know what? How old is he? Because the commercial that they had, he does not look that bad for... As old as I'm imagining.
See,
no,
I wish I had my Alexa so I could ask her how old he is. Keith, would you mind Googling that while I look this up?
Hey, Google. How old is Barry Manilow?
83.
She thinks he's 80.
But still, he did not look 80. Maybe
really
it was just
old, though, to do like a tour, like a multi-city tour.
I did not have that on my bingo card this year.
To retire, dude. Like,
yeah,
I'm not even 50 yet, and I don't think I could do that.
That takes a lot of stamina, and he puts on a show. Back in, I looked it up in 1995. I got to introduce Barry Manilow to Casper, Wyoming, which was the thrill of my lifetime. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but I am a huge Barry Manilow fan. Always have been, and so I had to look that up because I'm like. Okay, 2024, I didn't see that coming. I thought he was probably...
Wasn't on your bingo card.
Was totally not on my bingo card.
But speaking of complete opposite, there was a question that I was going to ask Keith this week. And this is involving a Facebook post that my daughter-in-law put on, or soon-to-be daughter-in-law. And she says something about...
Quoted exactly.
It says, quote, "Please teach y'all's kids not to bully, because I'm teaching mine to mink, mink, mink." What the hell does M-I-N-K, mink?
Mink, mink, mink.
I looked
what
up mink.
Does that mean?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I thought you were up with the youth. I thought you were down with all the slang.
I am so not.
Well, I looked it up, and like in Scotland, it means like dirty or smelly or it's like sleazy.
But that doesn't make any sense contextually.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means.
Wait, we should call her ass up and say, what the fuck are you talking about?
What is the meaning of mink? I looked up, what is the meaning of mink, mink, mink? And it's like a small brown.
It's a merkin.
Oh, a mink is a pretty sexy young woman.
Oh.
Does that still make no sense, though?
Because I'm teaching mine to be a pretty sexy young woman.
Oh.
Yes.
Instead of being a bully.
Oh. Like, still, come on,
just
Kaylee.
To be sexy.
You got to translate for those of us over a certain age. Fuck.
There are a lot of memes with that mink, mink, mink in it, apparently.
Is there? I feel like so old sometimes. Like, I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I love that show so much.
It's so friggin' hilarious, but some of the things that they say, I'm like, I have never heard it called that before. Like, smushin' booties. And I love it. It's like, I want to call it smushin' booties now.
You know what my favorite phrase from, well, one of my favorite phrases from the Discworld, when a guy gets kicked in the privates, it's called kick him in the fork.
Oh, was that why you texted that the other day?
Yeah, I did.
About kick him in the fork? I had no clue what you were talking about. I'm like, I don't know if autocorrect changed that, or maybe it's some slang that I don't understand. Listen,
see, I expected you to ask me, and you never did, so I was like, oh, maybe she does know about it. Kick him in the fork!
I think it was working, and I read it, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Oh, well, I gotta pay this.
Well,
I'll ask her later.
Figure it out later.
Or sometimes I just pretend I know things because I don't want to sound stupid. I don't want to be Alyssa.
Well, I always ask. I always say, what the fuck are you talking about, Willis?
Usually I do.
Willis? What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? I'm showing my age now, right? Right?
Yeah, all these people are like, what the hell does that mean?
Who's Willis?
None.
They're looking it up on Urban Dictionary.
He's Nanya.
What's Willis?
Nanya business.
Nanya business.
Shall we move right along to maybe talking about some books, actually?
As long as you're not using any weird slang, because I won't understand what you're talking about.
You know what? Maybe that's why I like historical fiction so much, is because I know what they're
talking
about.
They can't use slang.
They don't use slang. I need the speech from the 1940s to be able to understand it.
Okay, daddy-o. Put on your galoshes and your slicker.
Grab my reading glasses. Oh, wait, got it.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
So I, as I previously mentioned, read a historical fiction. And this is one that was recommended by a few people from work and Tony's mom. And it's called The Zookeeper's Wife by Diane Ackerman. And this is a World War II historical fiction. Because, you know, that's how I roll. So this is about, it's about a couple who have a zoo in Poland before the start of World War II. Jan is an atheist. I should say that. Very rare in those times.
Yes, very.
Because of his beliefs and the fact that most schools were religious-based, he went to school in the Jewish district because they were educational based more than religious based. So he had longtime friendships with a lot of the Jewish community. I mean, I don't have to go into too many too much detail about what happened during World War II. You know, they in
Nazis and whatnot
in Polish.
Some of us have heard about it.
Yeah. It's been around a little. And they were two of the main supporters in the underground that helped Jews hide and escape. And one of the things that they did after the Germans bombed the zoo and a lot of the animals died, they had to ship out the rest of the animals to somewhere safer. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you don't want to just sit there and watch all your animals get killed. That's sad. You know, that made me sad. But they used the animal cages and habitats to hide Jews.
Oh.
And they also kind of had a code. They called their animals by human names and the humans by animal names. Oh. So if they were talking about the lynx in the,
say,
in the zoo.
Ted has a horrible hairball. Sorry.
Ted's in heat again. God damn. But yeah, so, and that was kind of a way that they could kind of have a code where they could still talk, because obviously somebody who owns a zoo who's talking about animals is not out of the ordinary. And another thing that Jan did is he would go in and out of the ghetto a lot, so that it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for him to go to the into the ghetto with one person and leave with another. And he did that until the guards quit asking for papers and ID.
Smart guy.
So then he could start just walking out. It was kind of like hiding in plain sight.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing. And another thing about this book that was interesting is that they have like little facts interwoven with the story. For instance, you know, the Nazis were big on purebred. Like they wanted a purebred race. And they also had the same thoughts with animals. I actually did not know that until I read this book, that they didn't like intermixing with the animals. They wanted purebred animals to hunt for entertainment. And they actually took some of the animals from the zoo so that they could use it for their hunting, which sucks.
Yet another reason to despise Nazis.
I know. They were bad to everyone, including animals. But also this book talks a lot about how many people were in the underground to protect the Jews, and how many like guards would just look the other way when they knew something wasn't quite right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was a good book. It's been a while since I've read historical fiction about. Has it been a while since I've read World War II?
It has, kind of. You've been reading a lot of other things lately.
And I do this to myself. I find a topic that I like and I read it until I'm so sick of it that I have to take a break.
Sort of like me and Easter candy. I buy two or three bags of malted robin's eggs and eat them until I puke.
And then you're done for the year.
Yep.
Kind of what I do with everything in life, to tell you the truth. You know how I am. I find something and I stick to it until I'm sick to death of it. But this book was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Would definitely recommend it. I should have listened a little less at work and a little more when I wasn't distracted, because I think I might have missed parts, like some of the dramatic effect, because I was doing too many things at once. And that's on me. Mm. You know how it goes sometimes.
I do.
It's just hard to concentrate sometimes on one thing.
It is.
But it was a great book. Definitely recommend it. It goes all the way through the war. Can't tell you how it ends, if everybody makes it out alive. There's some very interesting characters in the underground and who live in the zoo.
It's more about...
I will have to say that while this is traumatic a little bit because, of course, it's the war. People die. Animals die in this book. Trigger warning right there. It isn't quite as trauma pornatic.
Trauma
pornatic.
Vonnie's making up words.
Like, is that how you take trauma porn and dramatic and smush booty?
Exactly.
Smush booty.
Dramatic and porn. Smush some booties and this is the offspring.
So wrong on every level. Okay.
But it's not quite as traumatic as some of the stuff that I read. So if you don't want to have very, very big, big feelings, but you want to have some feelings, this might be a great book. And that, again, is called The Zookeeper's Wife by Diane Ackerman.
Which road did you venture down this week?
So the book I'm reviewing is called Bride, and it's by Allie Hazelwood. And Allie Hazelwood writes all of those women in STEM romances that Megan really likes.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite romances are either like paranormal ones or really dark ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so she totally went on a departure. And this is like a love story between a vampire and a werewolf.
Cool. I'm in. Okay, I'm listening.
So in this one, the lore is much different than anything I've ever read, which was nice and interesting. So the vampires and werewolves and humans all live together, but each faction is very wary of the others. Like, they're not friendly. So vampires and werewolves both, like, vampires didn't die and come back. They're just humans that have mutations. So, and it's funny because, like, the werewolves all think the things that they see in the movies about vampires are right. So they're always like, you know, but none of those things are true. Like, vampires drink blood, and that's about all that's true of the vampire lore. And werewolves shift into werewolf people, like into wolves, but like, there's no silver bullets or whatever, like, that can kill you.
You don't turn into a werewolf if you get bit.
Right. No. No, you're born as a werewolf, and that's the only way you can be. And the same with a vampire. Nobody turns you or anything like that. So that was really interesting. There's a lot of political stuff that kind of goes on because, so they don't get along, and they have tried several times to, like, kind of make alliances and things, but it's gone spectacularly wrong before. Like, I mean, there have been just terrible things that have happened. So this book is about Misery, who's the daughter of, like, I don't know, like the head, one of the heads of vampires in general. So think of like a congressman or something like that in the human world.
Congressman vampire. That fits pretty well.
But just of the vampires, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Because they're a whole kingdom in and of themselves. And Misery, this is really weird. But so one of the ways that the humans and the vampires have an alliance and make sure that they don't go to war with each other are that they continually swap children. So a powerful person's child, in this case, Misery, who's a woman. When she's, I want to say 8 years old, her father, who is this congressman kind of thing of the vampires, sends her to live among the humans. And then the humans choose a similar important person's child, and they live with the vampires. And then if anything happens to either one, or if anything happens, like where there's an attack, then that child dies kind of thing.
I've heard of that in other populations of people as well. Gangsters, for example.
Yeah, but it's kind of shit. Like,
yeah, it's
so
it's
she, horrific. I mean, and you go for 10 years. So she spends her entire childhood among humans. So she doesn't really know much about being a vampire. And when she goes back and she's finished and they send a new child, She tries to go back and live amongst vampire people, and people hate her. They just treat her terribly. Mm. So she stays not very long, and then she goes back to live amongst humans, and she like files her teeth down, and vampires have pointy ears, so she hides her ears, and so she doesn't tell anyone she's a vampire, and she just kind of lives as a human. She's brought up by these people, and they send a little orphan girl that's her age to live with her. So she grows up with this girl named Serena, and the book happens when they're 24, and she and Serena are like really close, like sisters, and they're best friends. And Serena goes missing, and nobody will take Misery seriously when she tries to go to the police, because they're like, you know, she's 24, she probably just didn't want to hang out with you anymore, whatever. And Serena doesn't have any family because she was brought as an orphan. So Misery decides that she needs to find out what happened to her. Now, she was told that she had to go live among the humans. Well, now what her father decides and makes an alliance with the werewolves is that he sends his daughter to be married to one of the alpha werewolf. And then the alpha werewolf sends a powerful woman to marry a vampire. And it's weird because they are so at odds. I mean, the wedding's really tense because they've tried to do this once before and it was a freaking bloodbath. Like, everybody died. So the dad is awesome. Like, first he sends his daughter away for 10 years. Then he calls her back and is like, okay, now you got to go live with the werewolves. And Lo is the alpha werewolf. And he's got his own reasons for doing stuff too. And it's very political, and like they have this marriage, this political kind of marriage kind of thing. And the whole story is really, really interesting. It's not anything like I thought it would be, in a really good way, though. The book is all about like Misery's feelings about the fact that she's constantly used as a pawn by her father. And the alpha is actually a really good guy who's just come into power, and he's trying to change everything, and he wants to make alliances, while it's kind of like they've got all the old guard.
You know how we have
all these old politicians?
It sounds so much like politics now.
Exactly. And that's what I found so interesting, because there are a bunch of people who want to have peace and stuff, but the people in power are all these people that want to stay with the status quo. It was really, really interesting. It was really, I mean, it's a romance. So, I mean, and it's a spicy romance. So
is there like interspecies sex?
Well, and
in
that's
it?
One of the things, like, they're not sure if that'll work.
they're not sure there'll be babies from that, but you can fit?
There can't be babies, as far as they know. But yeah, they're not sure that all the parts fit together the right way and stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. But I mean, it's a marriage of like convenience. I mean, you don't really have to, but obviously because it's a romance,
they give it the old college try.
Right. I really liked it. I mean, I like her women in STEM stuff a lot. I mean, I think she's a great writer. Mm-hmm. But this, I don't know, something about this just hit different, and it was just so awesome. I really kind of want her to write more, like, weird stuff.
Shit.
So I was thinking about whether I should review it, because I know Megan loves her so much, and I was like, well, maybe she's just going to, like, maybe she's into the STEM parts, and she won't want to read about the werewolves. But sorry, Megan, in advance. But that was Bride by Allie Hazelwood.
And I just have to say, Martha, you were all woohooing over a werewolf vampire romance, but you give a shit about Twilight.
No, I'm just trying to be polite.
She doesn't really care about vampire werewolf romance.
It's more interesting than regular romance. I mean, if you put them side by side, at least there's something freaky going on.
That's all you
Dude,
want.
Seriously?
You want
to get...
Your first question was, do the parts fit?
That wasn't my first question.
No, it was like her second or third.
Can they only do it doggy style?
I had to plug the computer back in. I guess I'll just have to try to take the buzz out because it was dying. So, damn it!
What did you review, Martha?
What did I listen to?
Well, you know she listened.
So I decided that this week I will review a book called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. The audiobook was particularly good for this novel because alternate chapters take place with a true crime podcast. And I have reviewed a book or two before with the same type of a theme, but I really like it. So I decided to read this one too. So our main character is Lucy, and she lives in Los Angeles. And when we meet her, a true crime podcast has just dropped that has revealed that she was involved in, that she was sort of exonerated of a murder in her hometown. Well, of course, this casts doubt upon her innocence. So she goes to work that day wondering if she's going to get fired, and she does. She gets fired. Oh. And then she gets home and she's sitting there talking to, I mean, it's almost like you hear her private thoughts. And she's thinking to herself, it's not going to be any big loss if her boyfriend dumps her because it hasn't been going well anyway, you know? So she's kind of going through all the things in her head that she's wondering if he's even going to have the guts to break up with her. And he's kind of hemming and hawing. And in the meantime, her grandmother calls from this tiny little town in Texas and says, well, it's my 80th birthday and the only thing I want for my birthday is for you to come home.
Oh, then you have to do it.
Yeah. So she's like, fuck. And of course she doesn't have a job now. So it's like, well, so she, her grandmother buys her a plane ticket and she heads back to this tiny little Texas town where she grew up. And when she gets there, she walks into the diner and there, sitting in one of the booths, is the dude who's doing the podcast. So it's like, fuck. She just, and she's one of those people that just rips off the bandaid. I really, really liked the main character because she just gives zero fucks. She just went right up to him and is like, well, okay. I'm here. I didn't really want to talk to you. Actually, he's been trying to get a hold of her for months and she just ghosted him. She just refused to answer his emails. She wouldn't answer any phone calls, nothing. So all of the work that he's done on the podcast up to this point has been without her. So she agrees reluctantly to talk to the guy. Well, we find out the bones of the murder case. She is found wandering along the side of the road. This is after a wedding. They've all been to a friend's wedding. And she and her best friend is the one that she was with. And they find her best friend in the woods, bludgeoned to get to death.
Ooh.
And Lucy was wandering around with a head injury carrying a bloody branch. So they
doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, they couldn't prove anything. She had no motive to kill her friend. But everybody always believed that she did it.
Yeah.
Which sucks, which is why she didn't stay. But she had previously been married to one of the guys in town who everybody loved, and his family was really rich. And they thought they were the perfect couple. And now she's a bitch from hell because she left him and then killed her best friend. And
because she
blah.
Was walking around with a bloody branch.
Exactly.
That bitch.
That bitch. So she is basically right back in the thick of it again when she goes. But the thing that's interesting is that she never really tried. Well, she kind of tried to remember, but she never went back to any of those places again to try to jog her memory because she had head trauma. And because everybody had already decided she did it, she just fucked off. She just left. But right. Now yeah. She's kind of a little bit more invested in the idea of finding out what happened, because she knows deep in her heart that she did not kill her friend. But the other thing that makes this a cool read is that you're hearing her friend in her head all the time. And she says stuff like, let's kill that guy. You know, it's like all this, like, this really dark shit. And I just loved the voice of her dead friend. And I really loved the main character. Of course, you end up finding out what happened in the end. And that's what makes it so good, is that it's nothing like what you thought it was going to be. And that's always the reason that I end up loving a book like this, is that I didn't figure out who did it, and I felt satisfied with the ending. So if you love a good true crime podcast and you like to, you know, dig into the thick of things when you're wondering who did it, I think you'll really like this, especially because you've got those chapters being read by the podcaster. So you're hearing the story at the same time that the story is being rediscovered in the main character's voice. So anyway, I thought it was very good. It was a very quick read. I don't remember how long it was, but it felt, but I only it was only one day that I read it. So I think maybe it was about 9 hours, 8-9 hours maybe. So I highly
normal person that would take at least 2 or 3.
Yeah, but for me it was just one day. But I thought it was really good. I thought that it was well written, and having lived in Texas, I felt like it captured this small town assholery that happens. And I definitely would recommend it as a very enjoyable read. And that was Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera.
That really sounds like a book Megan would like.
It really does, and I kind of was half scared that she might already have it on her list, but since she's trying to read off her shelf, there's no way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard her mention that. I don't know that she knows it exists.
She's going to be pissed that she didn't get to review it, because it's totally up her street. Ha ha, Megan, that'll teach you to take a fucking day off.
Sheesh.
Both you guys are reading stuff that... are Megan
I know,
inspired.
Now I feel doubly bad. I'm like, well, shit.
I could have reviewed something else, but I wanted her to just be sitting in her car going, you bitches!
Nice.
Damn it.
Lonnie, I had a question while you were reviewing. Okay, you might have said this and I might have missed it. How do you have a non-purebred animal?
Like a hybrid, like kind of
like a liger,
or like if two different breeds of buffalo.
Oh, sort of like the difference between a purebred bird dog versus Uncle Joe's.
Just like how do you
hybrid?
Fuck, like, how do you mess up elephants or like
Asian and
like,
Asian and African elephants maybe?
But do they ever? Okay. Can you mate them?
I have no idea, but I certainly would think they all have the same parts.
I think they might have been talking to some, like, rabbits.
Oh, maybe.
Foxes, like that kind of thing.
Even our animals have to be purebred. Blech.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes you look differently at people who only will have purebred dogs. So, you have to have a breeder because you're secretly a Nazi?
Is that your Nazi dog? I can't say that. My dog is purebred. But to be fair, I didn't know that until I looked at her paperwork from the rescue.
Well, right. It's different when you, yeah, like,
I mean, I knew she was
a Yorkie and she bought it from a breeder, and then she paid a person to bring it on the plane, I think, because they have those people. Because you can't just send a dog by itself.
You have to put it in a little dog basket and stick it on.
Well, and you have to have a person with it. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't just.
Like, they hired a person,
Your
I think.
Mother must really love her dog.
You can put a little kid on the plane by themselves, but not a dog.
When she said that, I was like, dude, people, like, ship their kids off planes.
That's a whole new career path for me to think about now when I get old. I'll just put myself on as a dog companion for airlines.
I mean, I could probably do that, but I probably would still get some weirdo asking me to meet them in the 7-Eleven parking lot. I have a baby. Dog for you. Come meet me at the 7-Eleven parking lot.
Hey, baby. Come lick my fur.
I have a nice Dachshund for you, baby.
Only Martha could make a dog nanny sound 30.
Oh, come on. It's not that much of a leap. Dogs lick their balls all day long.
Come here and pet my puppy, baby.
Well, we were talking about minks when we started out, so kind of all falls together, you know?
Is it weird that Merkin sounds like it would be a good dog for, or good name for a pet? Every time I hear that Merkin, because it's, you know, a vagina wig.
Oh, my God, you do not want to name your pet Merkin.
I want to name my pet Merkin.
Sounds like the worst idea ever.
I wonder if you named a dog Merkin, how many people would know what that means. And you can tell by the look on their face, this is my dog Merkin. And if they go, what? You're like, ha!
Dude, everyone would know what it means. Because weren't we the last time we talked about Merkins, weren't we talking about how they're making comebacks? Along with the curly eyelashes?
Well, I didn't know what a Merkin was before this podcast.
I think we live a little bit on the edges here on this podcast. Not everybody that doesn't listen to this podcast knows what a Merkin is. In fact, there are some people out there right now who just started listening to us.
They're Googling right now.
Googling the fuck out of that right now.
Don't do it on your work computer. I'm telling you. Get off your work internet before you look that shit up. Listen, as a rule in general, always look up anything from the podcast on your own personal devices.
Yes, because you don't want people looking at your history going, okay, at 2:35 p.m. on a Tuesday, you used your work computer to Google two girls in a cup.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
We're totally fucking Googling it right now. We actually did that at a live show, believe it or not.
I wonder, though, if you got called to HR about looking up Merkin on your computer, could you tell if HR knows what a Merkin is by the look on their face? Looking down before they look up to see if you've got
and then you'll
a fluffy
here's what you do.
Exterior.
Here's what you do.
A fluffy mound.
There's a way to get around this at HR. I figured it out. They say, why were you Googling a Merkin on your work computer? And then you can say, I don't know if you knew this about me, but
oh God.
I have alopecia.
I'm thinking that probably still wouldn't work.
I really don't understand buying a wig for that. I mean,
you just have to tell them you're not allowed to ask me that.
I'm being discriminated against for my baldness.
Maybe when the trend was the landing strip, you had some laser surgery done and you can't undo it. And now Afro, 70s Afro is back and you can't go with the trends.
Most things they use that for is for movies.
Role play.
Movies and role play. You've always wanted a blonde one, but yours is dark. Just slap on the Lee press on Merkin. That's going to do it. Three Book Girls.
If you made it this far, you are truly bookish. So go to Facebook and join your fellow book lovers on the Three Book Girls squad. Follow Three Book Girls on socials and be on the lookout for their next live event. Proud of their lack of shelf control, Three Book Girls is a Steel Trap production.